Surprise. You're not used to seeing me up here now, are you? We're doing a little things a little different this morning. Change is weird, isn't it? Are y'all live out there? We're going to just wanted to try something a little bit different this morning. We normally would do a worship set right here, and then I would come up and preach, but I wanted this morning, I just have felt in my heart for a long time that at the end of our service that, I just didn't feel like we were given enough time for God to do what maybe God wanted to do in us each week. So we're gonna try something a little different this morning. We'll do worship, an extended worship set after the sermon. So I promise I'll end earlier than I normally do, and we'll have time for worship at the end. But we've got guards posted at the door, so you can't leave until... No, I'm just kidding. So turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, I want to explain, you've probably heard me say this before, but in these first few verses of John chapter 1, historians believe that this book was written by John the Apostle, and he had a way of describing Jesus, which he used the word "word," capital W, which for us it's translated "word," but I call it logos. Now other people, that may be West Texas for how you pronounce that, but logos is a divine expression for Christ Himself. And so when you see that word with a capital W, most of your versions probably have that capitalized. That is another way of saying Jesus. Okay, so let's begin in verse 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. So I want that to sink in for a minute. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Skip down to verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. Now remember, this is John speaking, who, an eyewitness of His glory. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and truth. Teach us to be like You, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're going to continue the sermon series, Jesus the Miracle Man. This week, God made flesh. Now, for the past several weeks we've talked about specific miracles that Jesus performed as He walked the earth. And we will have a few more of those in this series. But today I wanted us to shift gears and actually look at Jesus as the miracle man. What was miraculous about Jesus Himself? Now, how many of you, when I say the name Harold Camping, know who that is? How many of you remember the date, May 21st, 2011? Billy, you're a show-off, man. Well, Harold Camping is a, I think he's a leader of a cult, if you get right down to it. But he's an evangelist and so on and so forth, but he's out there, out of Oakland, California, and he predicted several years ago that the world would end on May the 21st, 2011. Now, that week there was a lot of the press. There was a lot of press. Is it starting to get familiar to you now? If you remember that now, raise your hand. Remember the world was going to end on May the 21st, 2011. Well, guess what? It didn't. On that week of that week, here's way what we put on our church sign here. May the 21st was, I believe, a Saturday, and I guess there were people. You know, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we were planning on going ahead and meeting the next day. That actually made the paper. Our sign made the paper. Some people saw it and called it in the paper and his article and all that stuff. Well, it didn't happen. He's actually predicted other dates back, I think, in the 90s even, that the world was going to end, and he's got this elaborate calculations as to why he's coming up with these dates and so on and so forth. Well, God's Word tells us we're not going to know, right? But here's my point. You haven't heard much from him or his followers after that date passed. You know, he literally had people selling their home and all their possessions and buying a Winnebago and driving to Oakland, California to be together for the last day on earth. And people cashed in insurance and savings and 401k. Read about it. Cashed in their whole life savings and went and gave it to this man, and they bought billboards all over the nation to advertise this and spent millions and millions of dollars on radio spots and so on and so forth to promote this date. It didn't happen. You hadn't heard much from Harold Camping. And guess what? As you read about this, his followers have kind of become disheartened. Imagine that. They've kind of lost faith in the guy. Well, I want us today to look at Jesus and the very specific things about Jesus and what happened to Jesus' followers after he was killed on this earth. It's very interesting because not only did the Old Testament prophesy all hundreds of things that Jesus would ultimately fulfill that he had no control over, but he also had been telling anyone who would listen, specifically his disciples, he had been telling them, the Son of Man will go to Jerusalem. He will be handed over to the authorities. He will be unjustly convicted. He will be beaten. He will be whipped. He will be nailed to a cross. He will die. And on the third day, he will raise from the dead. And so when this was happening, we all remember that the disciples scattered. The disciples scattered. And one of them betrayed him, one of them denied him, and there was only one apostle that actually stood by him and was at the cross when all this was going on. So I can see all the rest of them in my mind. I can see them back in the bushes, in the shinry, peeking out, watching what's going on, just far enough away where they can't be seen. So do you think it crossed their minds that perhaps this guy was a fraud at that moment? Perhaps this guy was a fraud. They still hadn't pieced it all together. But here's what happened. The Gospels began to be written roughly 20 years or so after Jesus left this earth. The Gospels began to be put down in writing. And here I want to read two things. Peter, one of the apostles, the apostle who denied that he even knew him, says in 2 Peter 1:16, here's what he says. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You don't hear that about Harold Camping. You don't hear his followers going, you know, y'all may have thought he was crazy, but look at this. It happened. No, but Peter is saying, we were eyewitnesses. We saw it happen. John, again, the only apostle who Scripture records who was faithful and stood by Jesus in his time of struggle. In John 19:35, he says, the man who this, and he has just described them coming and piercing. They went to break the legs of Jesus on the cross to ensure that he was dead. And they came to Jesus and they broke the two thieves' legs on the cross. They came to Jesus and they thought, this guy's already dead. We don't need to break his legs. And guess what? Old Testament had prophesied. not a bone would be broken on the Messiah. Well, it was supposed to be. The rules of Roman crucifixion said break the legs. But even the Romans followed the word of God and didn't even know it. They come to break his legs. This man's already dead. So to make sure they pierced, guess what the Old Testament said? He was pierced for our transgressions. So they pierced his side, and John saw that, and it said that blood and water came spilling out of the wound. And guess what? Now we know through medical evidence that the trauma that Jesus' body went through, that fluid, we didn't know it at the time, that the physicians didn't know it at the time, but fluid due to the stress and trauma of his body surrounded the heart. That's what would happen under those circumstances, that fluid would build up around the heart so that when you pierce the heart, guess what comes out? Not just blood, but blood and water. John had just seen this and he just described it in John 19. And then he says, the man who saw it has given testimony. And his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth and he testifies so that you and me may also believe. We recite a creed almost every week. It's called the Apostles' Creed, and we did it today. And I want to read just a couple of lines that we say every week, and these are the things that are scripture that binds our hearts together. It really doesn't matter if we call ourselves Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Church of Christ or whatever. If we call on the name of Jesus, we believe these things to be true. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. So, I want us to focus today on if we are Christians, if we have called on the name of Jesus, and we're talking about Jesus being this miracle maker, this miracle man that can literally defy the laws of nature and can walk on water, can still storms, can bring the dead back to life, can with a touch can heal leprosy, with the spit of his mouth he can put it on eyes and he can cause the blind to see. If we really believe in that Jesus, I want us to understand who we're putting our faith in. And so I'm going to, they tell you a good sermon, you have 3 points and then a summary. Well, I wanted this to be a really good summary, so I'm having 12 points, baby. You ain't buckle your seatbelt. You ain't never had a sermon like this. 12 of them. But we're going to move really fast, okay? I'm not going to go in depth, but I want us to understand who this Jesus is. He is the changer of lives. He's the redeemer of my soul. First thing, we need to understand that Jesus has always been. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. He is part of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. He was with God, and not only was he with God, but he was God. And all things were created through Jesus, God. He has always been. Pretty miraculous, huh? I mean, now I want you to think about, are we describing a normal man here as we go walk down through these? Or is there something more to this Jesus? Second thing, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. His daddy was God. He had an earthly mother, Mary, but it says, and this we read this, generally read this every Christmas, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, he was born of a virgin. That doesn't happen every day. Have you noticed that? It doesn't happen every day. Now, we either, I'm convinced more and more, church, that we are becoming, as a, and I'm talking about the global church, Christianity in general. We are becoming a bunch of people that have a cafeteria theology. We go through the line at the cafeteria and we say, and that's scripture, and we go, I like that. Put that on my tray. I don't like that. I like that. Put that on my tray. And we build our theology on what we're comfortable with. Theology, just our belief in God, how our worldview, how we see the world, how we see God. And so we take what we want, and it's part of it. Part of what's on the buffet is not even God's word. Part of it is what mom and daddy may or may not have taught me. What my good old buddy Ralph, at work, taught me and told me, and what he believes, and yeah, that, I like that. That makes sense. And we build this belief system based on all of these different parameters on what feels right. I just want to tell you, that's church. That's not how we do it. That's not how we do it. God has spoken. And so we don't have to listen to anybody else. You don't even have to listen to me. Because when what comes out of this pulpit, I hope, comes out of God's Word. And if you've heard me say this before, I invite you to challenge me anytime you hear something come from this pulpit that is not from God's Word. It's not sound from God's Word. You have my permission and blessing to challenge me. Jesus was born of the Virgin. Do we believe that? Amen. That's miraculous, church, if we believe that. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin. That's big stuff. Jesus wasn't an ordinary man, it seems to me. Fourth thing, Jesus' birth was proclaimed by the angels. Even the angels were excited about Jesus' birth. The scripture, and I've listed, I didn't put all of them, the whole text there like I normally do because there was so much, but I put the references to each one of these, and you can go and I encourage you to read it for yourself. His birth was proclaimed by the angels. It not only proclaimed by the angels, but announced by the angels. The angels appeared to Mary and Joseph and said, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what it's about, and here's what you're to do, and here's what you're to name him, and he's going to be the Son of God, and he's going to save his people. And so the angels proclaimed it. They announced it. Fifth thing, Jesus performed many miracles, and that's what we've been talking about for several weeks, and we'll continue that for a while. But John the Baptist had been preparing the way for Christ. He had been telling the people to repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and one greater than I is coming. And so he was preparing the way for Christ. And when he's in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus, and he said, go ask this Jesus guy if he's the one. And here was Jesus' response to them. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. That was Jesus' response when John wanted to know, are you the one? He pointed to the evidence. Wasn't anybody else doing that kind of stuff? Go tell him what you're seeing, what you're hearing. Sixth thing, we understand that Jesus was without sin. The only man who's ever walked, or woman, who's ever walked on this earth, who was without sin. We know the story. Jesus was led into, as he began his ministry, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, his baptism. He's led into the desert for 40 days, and he's tempted by the devil. And guess who won? It wasn't the devil. And that wasn't the last time that Jesus was confronted with sin. There was, I'm reminded of right as he in the garden, as he's going to the cross the next day, And he's praying to God, and he said, take this cup from me. I don't know if I can do this. And he's asking God, isn't there another way? And so there was that, even then, that temptation to turn inward and do what's right for you, do what's easy for you. The self-centered temptation of self-centeredness was coming upon him even at the last moment. And here's Jesus' response to that: your will, not mine, be done. Yeah, I don't want to go through this. Isn't there another way? But I want to do what you want me to do, Father. So Jesus was without sin. Seventh thing, Jesus suffered death as an ordinary man. Did you know that the cross was painful? When we talk about it when we have communion, that this is a costly meal. It's not an easy meal. It was very costly. He suffered death as an ordinary man, which we will all taste death. And then the eighth thing, he suffered death, but he rose from the dead on the third day, and I'd add to that, just like he and Scripture said. I love this passage, one of my favorite passages from Easter, and we celebrate it on Easter, Matthew 28:6. He says, when they show up at the tomb looking for a dead body to anoint, they meet an angel. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. That doesn't happen every day. That doesn't happen. We've had people that have said that was going to happen. Kind of wacko people. And the thing is, Jesus did it. Jesus said it, but then he did it. As Peter and John said, we didn't invent cleverly orchestrated stories here. We saw it. We saw him hanging on a cross. We saw him, his side pierced. We saw the blood and the water flow out. We saw them take down a lifeless body. We saw him lay in the tomb for 3 days. And then we saw him and had breakfast with him on Easter morning. We saw it. And I don't know about you, but when God became real to me is when I experienced him. I mean, you can be taught. You can have it up here and intellectually try to figure it all out. But God's word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's when it became real for me, is when I tasted. And if you haven't tasted, I invite you to ask, God, I want to taste. Help me to taste. He rose from the dead on the third day. The ninth thing, he appeared to over 500 witnesses for 40 days. It wasn't like he wasn't going to leave anything to chance, like, oh yeah, but that was just two people at the tomb. They're just making that up. No, he walked in public. He taught. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the Apostle Paul, says, what I received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It keeps going back, according to the Scriptures. That he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. Now we're at 13. And he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. So that's over 513. At this time of this writing that Paul wrote this, he said, most of whom are still living. Most of those 500 that he appeared to, they're still walking around. Go ask them. Go talk to them. That's what he's saying. Most are still living. Then he appeared to James. So what's that? Over 514. Then to all the apostles. Who knows how many that is. And last of all, he appeared to me. He appeared to over 500 witnesses for 40 days. In Acts chapter 1, it says that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. It almost sounds like this Jesus guy is different. It almost sounds like somebody that we can put our faith in that changes things in our lives. Doesn't it? It's almost like he's not just a good teacher. It's almost like there's something significant here that we should listen to. Tenth thing. After his 40 days, after he had been risen from the dead, after his 40 days of teaching, it says he ascended into heaven to the Father's right hand. Two different places at least. It says the apostles were sitting there talking to him. He gave them their assignment, their commission. And then it said he lifted before their very eyes and disappeared in the clouds. Do we believe that? I mean, do we believe that? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, if I'm talking to one of you and you start floating away, I'm going to kind of notice that. I mean, or we can just write it off and go, I like that other stuff, that you know, love one another stuff, but he didn't float away. He you can't do that. He didn't really walk on the water. Who could do that? Duh. That's right. Who could do that? He ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand interceding for you and I. Did you know that? As Scripture says that he's not only sitting there, you know, doing his knitting, he's interceding for us to the Father. Man, I love that. When I'm struggling, and I, you've heard me say this before, it also says in Scripture that the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that they're unrecognizable. Have you ever felt like, I don't know what's wrong, I just know I just need something. I don't even know what to even pray for, God. You ever felt like that? I feel like that all the time. I don't even know what to say. I'm just tired. I'm weary. I'm stressed. I'm whatever. It says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in ways that words can't express. And I pray that every time as I'm preparing, every week as I'm preparing my sermon, Lord, Holy Spirit, intercede for me, the Father. Make my heart His heart, my mind, my words His words. And that connection, that intercession that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are doing on our behalf. The 11th thing, we're coming, we're on the home stretch. Stay with me. Jesus sent His Holy Spirit, and I've just talked about that a little bit, to live in His believers. Not to just hang out with us. But for the first time at Pentecost, and we find that in Acts chapter 2, preached on that a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, but the Holy Spirit had been from the very beginning, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit had been from the very beginning. But now, Jesus said, He's not going to just be with you anymore. He's going to live inside of you. Because you see, I'm kind of getting off, but I want you to understand that this is probably a whole other sermon. But that God, the Spirit of God, had resided in the Holy of Holies, because you see, we were filled with sin. But when Jesus died and He washed us, He cleansed. This is now the temple out there. You and me. Believers in Christ, we are now the temple. We are now the Holy of Holies because the temple has been cleansed. And the Holy Spirit can now reside in us. Whereas before, the Holy Spirit could not reside in us because we weren't cleansed. But now we have been washed as white as snow. And so God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, lives in us. Wow. It's so easy to hear these things and just, you know, if you've been in church your whole life, just to kind of go, yeah, I know. And just not make any impact. I pray this morning that we get it. If it's for the first time that we get it. If we've got it a long time ago and maybe it's grown cold, that God would rekindle that in us. He sent His Holy Spirit to live in us. And lastly, Jesus promised, and His angels affirmed, by the way, Jesus promised His return. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? I don't know. I can't wait. He came to in this world the first time meekly, humbly. And He humbled Himself and became obedient to a cross. And so His whole earthly ministry was done in humility. But they say, what God's Word says, when He comes back, it's not going to be meekly. It's going to be with trumpets blaring, coming in riding on the clouds. There's that song. I wish we'd have done that today. He's going to come riding on the clouds. And there's and I can't even imagine what the chorus of angels is going to sound like announcing his coming. There's something different about Jesus. Do we get that? Has he made a difference in our life? Does he make a difference in every single moment when we go through things, do we include him in? So what difference does any of these 12 points, and I really didn't even, I could have done more. There's more about Jesus that's miraculous. I'll just hit some high points. So what difference does this make to you and I? If we can't trust God at his word, if Jesus is not who he said that he is, then perhaps the Bible is just a book to be accepted or ignored. And I see it all the time. I see it in people professing Christians. I don't really buy all of that. I mean, I don't really buy all of the Bible. I don't take it literally. I like that part. That part's good. But no, when it says that, so if it's just a book, then it's just a book. We just sold about 10,000 of them at an estate sale last weekend that my dad had collected. It wasn't 10,000, but it felt like it. There's books everywhere. Most of them are just books. Is the Bible just a book? If it's just a book to be accepted or ignored, then perhaps it's not absolutely true. Perhaps none of what it says about Jesus is true. I mean, that's an option that we have to choose. And if it's not absolutely true, then who picks what is true and what is false? And that's what's happening in our culture, church. That's what's happening in our culture. We pick and we choose, and it's like whatever the latest poll, whoever's in office, whoever's in Congress, and that's basically, that's where we place our faith and our morals and so on and so forth. But God has spoken. He settled it, and he, as I've said before, he has an opinion. God has an opinion, and it's the only one that matters. So if it's not, if the Bible's really not true, if Jesus isn't who he said he is, then who picks what's right and what's wrong? Perhaps Jesus was then just merely a good man, or perhaps he didn't even exist at all. There's people that believe that. If there's not absolute truth, then perhaps the virgin birth is a myth. Maybe that's just a neat story. Perhaps the resurrection is not true, and you and I are still in our sins. Because you see, a human, sinful Savior provides no supernatural help to us. A human, good teacher, nice guy, no difference than different than me or the person to your right or your left. If that's the criteria, then we could all qualify. But church, we need a supernatural, sinless Savior who can say your sins are washed white as snow. That's what we need. That's what I need. If Jesus isn't the pure, sinless Savior, then he's the impure, sinful Savior and no Savior at all. But if God's word is true, and if Jesus is the sinless Son of God that died so that you and I might live, then that church demands a response from us. I mean, if it's really true, if Jesus really was all of these 12 things that I listed today and more, if all of that is true, it demands a response from us. We can no longer go through life sleepwalking. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, has he changed your life? I'm a Christian. I mean, are you doing anything to serve? I'm a Christian. If he's all these things, if he really is the sinless Son of God who hung on the cross so that we might live, it demands a response. It demands total surrender from us, church. we ought to be, our passion in life ought to be to share that with others. Now, I know we've got distractions, and sometimes we need distractions. Sometimes we need hobbies, and we need to relax and rest, and we can't go, go, go all the time. But I'm talking about our focus in life. What is at the very forefront of our life? Is it, are we, can we just not wait? I tell you, and I'm not bragging here, I haven't always been this way, but because of what Christ has done for me, I can't wait to tell people about that. And it has nothing to do with being a pastor. I can't wait to tell people what he's done for me and what he can do for them. Demands a response from us if he is who he said he is. I want to invite the praise team to come up. And again, we're not going to close with just one song. We're going to close with a worship set here. And I want to invite you. We're trying this today so that we have a little more time for God to work in our hearts. If whatever he's doing, the altar is open. If Jesus Christ, if you've never said yes to Jesus, man, what a great day to do that. I want to tell you, and also in the front of the seat right in front of you, there should be a little card that you may or may, it's fairly new. We've only had them out for a few weeks. But it has, you know, some responses where you can write your name and just say, you know, I want to accept Jesus. I want to join the church. I want prayer for this or whatever. It's a little white card. And I invite you, if you want to bring that to me or to the altar, or anything like that. But the altar is open. If you've never said yes to Jesus, say yes to him. I mean, you will never regret it. Let's stand as we worship together.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glory. Day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails for me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now has ascended my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies in his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved, one bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my face, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to sustain. So what could I say? And what could I do? Offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation, your Spirit of life in me. It's life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
Sing that again. So what could I say?
So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you. So I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours.
So I'll stand.
I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, Lord, in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I
am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am is yours.
Is Jesus who he said he was? Has he changed your life? Go and tell somebody. We are dismissed. God bless you.
I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in all.